Thank you, Michael. I never thought about that song when I was putting this lesson together, but it's very appropriate. Good evening. It is good to see everybody back tonight, including myself. We're going to talk about false teachers tonight. And before I get into the lesson, as I was thinking about this, there's a lot of things in our own life, I think, that relate to false teachers. One being termites. I don't know if anybody's ever dealt with termites, but they get into a piece of wood and they just keep eating away until that piece of wood is gone, unless you do something about it and get rid of them. Black mold is another issue. Most of us probably have dealt with black mold somewhere along the way. It's a fungus. It will continue to spread throughout a home until you have to move out and the home has to be destroyed. But caught early, it can be taken care of. We used to live on a farm. Dad always said, if you see a mouse, there's 100 more under the building. They'll multiply and take over if you don't get rid of them. Cancer. A lot of us have had family members deal with cancer and or we've dealt with it ourselves. It starts as just a little tiny thing. And it grows and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until it takes over. And eventually death comes, unless it's caught early and you take care of it. I've dealt with some skin cancer. One I let go a long ways, and it ended up being more of a surgery than what we had thought it was going to be. It just doesn't go away. And I say that because false teaching doesn't go away either. We're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 2 tonight. I mentioned this to Mark this morning, and he said, what are you going to do, read the whole Bible? Talking about false teaching. I said, well, I kind of picked out a part that I think, to me, it's one of the better parts of the New Testament, talking about false teaching. We know that Paul, through every one of his letters, has a thread of false teaching, and beware of false teaching through every one of his letters. Peter devotes a whole chapter to it in 2 Peter. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. I've divided it into three different sections. One is the destructiveness of false teachers. That's where we'll start. The middle one is the destruction of false teachers. And then lastly, he goes into a full description of false teachers. And I know we all know what, you know, false teaching. Well, you know, we talk about immersion baptism, and we talk about having to have communion, and we talk about not having instrumental music and all these things. We all understand that anything other than that is false teaching, right? Yet we can drive across the United States and we can look at buildings and see Church of Christ hung on the building, and nothing going on inside is what is in New Testament church. You have choirs, you have instrumental music, you have females waiting on the table. Some, if you look far enough, you'll find elders that are female. There's no provision for that in the New Testament Bible. And if you're running into that, that is false teaching. Peter doesn't address individual living, but look at our lives. Curtis addressed this in his sermon this morning. How are you living your life? Are you being a false teacher, or are you teaching the truth? And we sometimes don't look at false teaching as being, what am I doing individually out amongst friends and relatives and coworkers? So we're going to start with the first three verses of chapter 2. This kind of lays the groundwork. He opens up this chapter. He says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. He's pretty much warning right there what's going on. You will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, who bought them, and bring on themselves with swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. The destructiveness of false teachers. We see here, first of all, Peter says there's going to be false teachers amongst us. I think we can all agree to that. Somewhere along the way, some of us, maybe most of us, have seen a false teaching situation get into a congregation and split it apart. It happens. I remember back in the 70s and early 80s when we had the Boston Crossroads movement come across the United States. And we got involved with that in Lincoln. It tore our congregation in half. We had 12 deacons that went down to 6. We had close to 400 people that went down to 200. Nothing more than false teaching. It was very subtle. They would come in Sunday evenings. They got the eldership sold on the fact we could meet in individual homes. We had little group sessions. And then they would start their little teachings going on and distort what the Word of God was actually saying. We went to one or two of those. I told Pegasus, hey, we're not going to any more of those. Those are bad news. And it didn't take very long for that to break the church apart. There will be false teachers amongst us. We also see in these three verses, they secretly bring in destructive heresies. They're very good at what they do. And we think back in the first century church, the difficulty that the Gentiles had with the Jews and the teachings that the Jews were trying to bring into the Gentiles. Nothing different today. We see that they deny the Lord. What they're doing, they're bringing onto themselves a swift destruction, Peter says. A swift destruction. And then he also tells us many will follow the false teaching, false teachers' destructive ways. Many will follow. And again, those of us that have been in the church for a long time, we've seen that happen. And it tears at us. Truth will be blasphemed. It'll be distorted. I've said it at times, and I'll keep saying it until I die. I can take this word of God and dissect it to the point I can do anything I want to do and prove it scripturally if I take it out of context. They blaspheme the truth. By covetousness, they will exploit you. And how do they do that? With deceiving words. How many times have we read in Paul's letters, do not be deceived. They will endure, this is them, they will endure judgment and destruction. There is no eternal hope for those that are doing this. The destructiveness of false teachers. Secondly, we look at 2 Peter chapter 2. We're going to look at 4 through 9. This gets pretty explanatory as to what's going on as far as what God does. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, and he didn't, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Now look at how verse 4 starts. For if God. So you can put that in front of every verse until we get to 9. Verse 5, and it says, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of 8 people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood of the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. For if God. Now we see here a contrast. He saved Noah, the 8 people on the ark, but destroyed the world. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, but saved Lot. Right? He sent the angels to chains. And then in verse 9, he ends this thought, and he said, now remember verse 4 says, for if God, then 9 it says, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He delivered Noah and his family. He delivered Lot. There's many other examples throughout the Bible that will show that. He delivered Moses and his people against Korah. And it goes on and on and on. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of the judgment. God knows, God understands how to deliver the godly out of temptation. We have to let him, but he knows how to do that. The Lord also knows how to punish the unjust. What did he do to the world with the flood? What did he do to Sodom and Gomorrah? What did he do to Korah? And on and on and on. God knows how to deliver us out of problems. He also knows how to punish the unjust. And then lastly is the full description of false teachers. I think sometimes we don't really understand what to look for. Well, so-and-so's, they're off base and they're doing this and doing that, and we don't think much about it. We don't know who they're grabbing a hold of and teaching. That's the issue. So we're going to take a look at the end of this chapter from 10 through 22 and take a look at who Peter's actually talking about and a full description of what these false teachers actually are. He goes on from verse 9, and he said, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, they're self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption. And will receive the wages of righteousness as those who commit it, who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. There are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are cursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, they're clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness. The ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error, while they promise them liberty, with they themselves are slaves of corruption, for by whom a person is overcome, by him who also he is brought into bondage. A full description in this few verses of false teachers. They walk according to the flesh. They're worldly. They do as they please. I wrote a blog one time on buses. You had Satan's bus and you had God's bus. Which bus do you want to climb on? If you climb on Satan's bus, you can do drugs, you can do alcohol, you can do whatever you want to do. Doesn't matter. All things go. You climb on God's bus, you need to be obedient. But God's bus has a lot of fun to it. Christians do a lot of fun things. We just have to be obedient. They walk according to the flesh. They lust after uncleanliness. They have to have it. That's part of their makeup. They despise authority. They cannot be told what to do or how to act or anything about God's word. They despise authority. They're presumptuous. They just presume you're going to go with them. And they're good at it. Trust me. They'll bring you right along. They're self-willed. They're strong people. You got to understand these false teachers are part of Satan's army. And they're good at what they do. They don't carry guns, but they carry a slick, sharp tongue. They speak evil of dignitaries. They speak evil of things they don't understand. I got to think what Peter's talking about here. I didn't look it up and cross-reference it, but I got to think that he's talking about they don't understand God's word. They speak evil about it. Oh, this is no good. You can't do this if you're following God. All the things that we're talking about here, they're good at it. Then he says they're going to perish in their own corruption. That's a warning to us not to get involved. A warning to us not to fall for that slick, sharp tongue that comes out of somebody's mouth that's trying to teach us something other than what God wants us to know. They'll perish in their own corruption. They revel in their own deceptions while feasting with you. They're proud of what they're doing while they're amongst us. They revel in it. Come on, join me. I'm having fun. While they're part of us. Their eyes are full of adultery. They want sexual activity. We see what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah with homosexuality. Their eyes are full of that kind of adultery. They're full of the adultery of God's word. They prostitute God's word by pulling things out of context, making it say what they want to say. They entice, and here's something we need to understand, they entice unstable souls. Most of us sitting in here tonight are strong enough and aware enough, we're not going to get tied up with a false teacher. But I'll guarantee you, we got family members, we got friends and family and co-workers and friends out in the world that get enticed by the unstable soul. Curtis mentioned this morning, people have come into church and left. What happened? God's army didn't let up on them, and they got them back. They will entice that unstable soul. So what do? We need to take more care of our newborn Christians. We need to teach stronger. We need to teach more. We need to teach basic principles. The old adage, when all else fails, go back to the directions. Sometimes we need to do that in Christianity. If it ain't working, go back to the directions. God will get you the plan. But we need to care and we need to tend these new baby Christians just like we need to do with a newborn child. They need that kind of care. Otherwise, they're going to be an unstable soul their whole Christian life. You and I know, we know 50, 60-year-old people, they're still babes in Christ because they have not been taught well. Their hearts are trained in covetous practices. I got to have what the Joneses have got. I covet that. Why is there so many marriages broken up? Somebody coveted after somebody else's wife or husband. Now, that's about as plain as I can explain covetousness. They forsake the right way and they go astray. We have a choice in life. We can either be on God's side or we can be on Satan's side. There's no middle. You might think there is, but there isn't. What does Revelation tell us about lukewarm people? They'll spew you out of the mouth. Try to drink lukewarm water sometime. It's horrible. You can't be lukewarm. These people forsake the right way. They forsake God's way. and yet they go astray. To us, going astray is going away from God's word. To them, going astray is what they want to do, not what God wants them to do. They allure through the lust of the flesh. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life, greed, all those things. Peter said they allure through the lusts of the flesh. Oh, come on. How many times at work, we've been working and going out for cocktails after work. Oh, come on, it won't, just one cocktail, it won't matter. That's a lust. That's a lust of the flesh. It doesn't have to be sexual. And then lastly, in verse 19, they're slaves of corruption. That's what they do. Again, we can be slaves of corruption, or we can be slaves of righteousness. It's our choice. Just know the consequences. Now, I'm going to end this with the last, three verses. Because this is what Peter says. And this is what Curtis was talking about in his sermon tonight, this morning, and that's what I'm talking about tonight. These people, a lot of them, have become members of Christ's church, and then they fall away and go back to what they were doing. Okay? Peter explains that. Verse 20, he says, for if, he's about as good as using that word if and but as Paul is, for if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in other words, they got out of the world and they were baptized, they are again entangled in them and overcome, and the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. We're told it's better to never know than to know and turn away. For it would have been better for them to have not known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. And then he ends this in verse 22, verse that should be familiar to all of us. But it has happened to them. According to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mud. They were once clean, they're back dirty. They were once baptized, once Christians, once clean, they went back to dirty. That's where false teachers come back in, because they have to make a reason and an excuse what they're doing in their own life. They've got to, in their mind, make themselves right. If I fall away, I'm not going to take the blame for it. I'm going to figure out how I can still be right. That's human nature. Anybody want to be wrong? None of us like to be wrong. So we make up excuses or lies or whatever to come around to where we can all be right. And that's what false teachers are doing. Many of them have been a part of God's kingdom at one time or another and have fallen away. I bring this lesson because I think we need to be aware of what's going on. I think we need to be aware of how slick these people are, how deceiving that these people are. And I don't know a passage in the Bible that's more plain than this chapter in 2 Peter to explain what false teaching really is and who they are. So I'll leave you with that. Lesson's yours. If there are those in attendance tonight that need to put their Lord on in baptism, get out of that world, get out of that darkness, get into the light. Baptistry is ready, and we are ready if you're ready to put your God on in baptism, put your Lord on in baptism. We also have this opportunity. Maybe you're fighting these evils. Maybe you're fighting the Satan's army. Maybe you're fighting with something that somebody's trying to teach you. If you need help with something, we're here for you. If somebody's trying to tell you something, you don't understand it, grab a hold of one of the men in here that knows what's going on and let them work with you and teach you. If you feel like you're a struggling Christian and you need help and you don't want to be deceived by someone, work with us. Let us help you. Don't be one of those that fall away. If you have any kind of need at all, we'll stand and sing the invitation song. Michael, you're up.